The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Good morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria. Welcome back to the second part of Dailies today. 7:30 is time. I'm Sharif Quadri.
And I'm Jimmy Disu. Good morning.
It's great to be back on the show. Let's start by telling you that you can watch on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3. That's Nigeria Info 99.3. So you can watch on our social media platforms. You can also let us know what you think on our website. We have a chat room on the website that you can drop your comments. That's nigeriainfo.fm. That's our website, www.nigeriainfo.fm. Let's start with the Vanguard, page 5 of the Vanguard. Muslim ticket, we can't campaign for Tinubu again. Northern APC Christians speaking there.
Yeah, we have also a very angry Babacha Lawal.
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. Of course, we spent the whole of yesterday talking about our views on this, so it's a no-no. Let me clarify something that I said yesterday. Where I stand, for me, I'm not interested in the political strategy of anything. That's none of my business. That's for the party to sort out. The part that bothers me the most is the overall implication, win or lose. The overall implication on the country is the part that concerns me. How politicians organize themselves is neither here nor there. There's no law that says you can't do that. But the implication, how it should start pitching, and you can see, it's been a frenzy since yesterday. It's been a frenzy pitching one against the other. Thankfully, it is something that we probably, at least you can see from the language is a bit temperate, that can be contained. And that's where I stand on the matter, but it's a very angry Babacha Lawal that you have in the papers here, and I had to hide this day cover from Sharif so that he's not what is not what he would read out, you know. So we can now read it in comments to say, he says, this is front page lead. This is Tinubu is cornered. He's taking stance against Christians. To your tent, to Israel. Babacha Lawal, very, very angry. Very close ally. If you watch the primaries, he played a very, very prominent role.
That's right.
In it. And there is something that I don't think people have paid attention to. The fact that the situation that you have now is like this. The presidential candidate of the APC is a Muslim. The vice presidential candidate is a Muslim. The national chairman is a Muslim. The deputy national chairman is a Muslim from Borno. The Senate president is a Muslim. The speaker, my cousin, is a Muslim. And the deputy speaker, Plateau. That doesn't matter. But you can see. And, of course, we've had that discussion yesterday. Sharif had it this morning. We must have balance. It's balance. And religion, like Kunle Uthman said yesterday in his statement that I read, is about faith. And your existence relies on faith. Now, faith is individual. It is peculiar to one person. But it is a very, very sensitive issue. And it leads to what I call perception. I said yesterday, Sharif, perception is the most dangerous part of human existence because it is not solid. You can't hold it. But it's very dangerous. It directs the affairs of man. A lot of people perceive things that they don't even talk about. You can't even read it in them. You know, it's perception that makes you feel sometimes, you do find some of our people, that makes you feel once you see somebody who is white, you suddenly feel inferior. It's called perception. There's no difference between you and the Oyinbo man. Even though, according to Chinua Achebe, the first set of Oyinbo men who were in the East, it was said some people thought that they didn't have toes. They didn't know that they were wearing socks. So it's perception that makes you, you're in public transportation, somebody comes in, and you begin to feel uncomfortable. It happens to all of us. It happens to all of us. You know, sometimes you're in another country and somebody dressed somehow, you say, oh, I'm not too sure what this would be. So we need to, perception is very sensitive and we need to take care of these things. And that is what the APC did not think out. I was telling Sharif, if the APC had met as a corporate body, let's assume they could meet and strategize and knock out all personal ambitions. Maybe if they had chosen a Christian candidate this time against Atiku, who is from the north and is a Muslim, it would have provided some, but if they had put forward, even though he came third in the primaries, but we know how that came about. Maybe if they had put forward somebody like Oshibajo now, it would have given them a good fight against both Atiku and against Obi, the onslaught of Obi coming. I mean, so these things were not well thought out. And my final word yesterday, I'm repeating some of this because of my guy who is here, is that politicians must learn to sacrifice. Leaders must learn to sacrifice. There are things that you do. Sometimes you say, look, it's like you have a family, somebody brings food and there's just a little bit. You give it to the younger ones. You don't grab it. If you find individuals who are ready to wear a uniform and go and face a bullet for their country, that's the biggest sacrifice, put their lives on the line. Politicians should also learn to put their, you know, to be ready to sacrifice their ambition. It is important. We need to have that culture where you would say, okay, yes, I know that I'm the best, but the time is not right. And for political this and that and peace in the country, I sacrifice this. That culture hasn't started. Anyway, now there's a problem. Northern APC Christians say that they will not campaign for the candidate. We have a very angry Babache Lawal. This gentleman resigned, what's his name now, in Rivers.
Toyin Prince,
yes. And the letter he wrote was beautiful. Mm. Did you read it?
Yes, I did.
Well crafted.
Another chieftain in Rivers, Ibim Seminitari, also resigned.
Oh, Ibim?
Yes.
She resigned?
Yes.
Oof, an avalanche is coming. Mm. Is that going to put a bit of... These are Métis people, though.
Yeah, so that is creating some conspiracy theory in that part of town.
Do you think... Amechi might at the very least now be lukewarm. You see, because of the perception, it's going to be difficult for if you come from, to put it bluntly, if you go like a Christian predominant area, it's going to be difficult for you to sell the package to them. How does Amechi sell this package to his people in River State? And see, I've heard arguments, I heard some on radio, I've seen some in the social media. Being a supporter doesn't mean you must always say what happens is right. For God's sake, let us realize that we are first and foremost individuals and there is something called history. So I see a lot of supporters, and I believe, like Babacha Lawal said, that the candidate's greatest enemies are those who are closest to him, who cannot confront him and tell him some home truths. I also believe in the conspiracy theory that the APC could have been infiltrated, and the beneficiary of all this might end up being Atiku Abubakar. But it's an unfolding drama. It's early days yet. It's getting hotter.
Yes, it is.
It's getting more exciting.
Yes, it is.
There's a lot of anger. A lot of anger. I've never seen anybody so angry in public like Babacha Lawal.
No, that was... I read everything yesterday. I was like, what?
Yes.
I mean, his choice of words... No.
And if you know how... Because Babacha Lawal was very, very close to this project.
Right.
Very, very close to this project. But he believes that the candidate has been hijacked. The question I'd like to ask you, Sherif, even though you want to ask me questions.
Yes, but I have two.
How you have two?
You have one.
Okay. How do you think the president agreed to this arrangement?
I don't think the president is interested.
I agree with you.
So I don't think...
I agree with you.
I don't think he has any interest whatsoever.
Every time I think of the president in this dispensation, I keep remembering his face at the convention because I watched it.
Yeah. You
know? Even though I wasn't, I watched that and I kept looking at his face. And I think that the president has, even from what he said the other day, that he's in a hurry to go, I think he has lost interest in everything.
Yeah, I think so.
Would this have anything to do with the VP not being at the Osun rally yesterday?
I think so. I think it's connected.
Well, Aregbesola wasn't there. So.
Yeah, Aregbesola wasn't there. Obviously.
So it is clear that if care is not taken, the APC is going to get divided across the land.
I think the APC is divided already.
Already.
Yeah. A lot of their party supporters are pulling out of the party. they are resigning. Some that have not resigned have publicly said that, you know, they're weighing their options. Some have said they are 95% out of the party. You know, quite a number of the I'm sure deals are getting struck as we speak. Politicians are planning to, you know, pitch tent where their interests will be protected. Remember, politics is about interest. And they feel that largely, and rightly so, that some interests have not been well protected enough, especially in the APC this time.
So do you think the likes of Wike will still be on his way into the APC?
I think there's a lot coming from that part of town.
Yes.
Magnus Abe, Wike, Amechi, these are three camps, you know, in River State. Their followers are also sharply divided. There are some APC stalwarts who have now resigned from APC to move to the PDP, and obviously so.
Yes.
You know, in River State.
I was going to say that I think there will be realignment of forces. And I suspect they might all come together. They might all come together. Don't forget, no fight in politics is ever bitter.
I think it's never that bitter. I think in River State, it's very bitter. I mean, in River State...
Well, on the outside. On the outside, because you know, if you know politicians very well, on the underbelly, I've moved close to them before. You can't read their body language. You can't. I wouldn't follow any politician, not even one. Of all the ones that I know, and even those who are my personal friends, I wouldn't follow one of them to war.
I agree with you totally.
I wouldn't sleep with my two
eyes closed. Who would have thought Secundus and Wike would not be friends anymore?
Well, at the end of the day, it's the minions that knock themselves out. These guys have fun at the very top.
Yeah.
We keep telling our young people, this is a lesson to learn. You know, while you're fighting yourselves on people buying cutlass, buying this and that, at the very top, these guys meet at their social club.
Yes, they do.
Yes, you know?
I mean, you saw the video of the APC governors going to meet Wike and the rest of them.
Yeah, yes, now. And I've mingled with a lot of these people in power over the years. I know what it's like. They laugh at us sometimes. They laugh at us. They laugh at us. Have a jolly good time.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think the 2023 election will be very unique.
It is my hope that we allow it to take place in peace. In peace.
Yeah.
Well, you said you had two questions to ask me.
Yes. Okay, so you've made me forget now. Your question took so long. Well, okay. I remember now. Why do you think, apart from the Christian, Muslim, why do you think Nigerians are so concerned about Muslim ticket? Even though we have, in quote now, a third force that people have been, you know, making so much noise about. Like, you'd think that nobody should be bothered about what Bola Tinubu or who Bola Tinubu picks as his running mate. Like, Peter Obi is like everybody. I mean, why do you think?
First and foremost, I couldn't be bothered about who anybody picks, but for the fact, for the ripple effect, it's the ripple effect that bothers me. Any strategy any politician deploys is his business, as long as it's within the ambit.
So that's exactly my question. Why does the ripple effect bother you? When
it bothers me,
it's almost like you're defeated already in your spirit. Like, he's going to win, so there's going to be ripple
effects. No. Is it whether he wins or he loses?
Yeah.
Already, as we speak, the damage has been done. We've spent valuable time now talking about this divide.
Yes.
This discussion is going on radio stations, beer parlors,
everywhere,
telephones,
everywhere,
in groups, in chat groups.
Like, why?
Because what it does is that it wakes up your sensitivity. It's natural human, and it's not peculiar to Nigeria. In other places, in America, you talk about Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, once an announcement is made in America, now you want to see how many black people have prominent positions.
Right.
So there are no apologies for that. Also, whether we like it or not, there's religious tension in the country.
whether we like it or not.
Yes, and and Christians believe they're being persecuted.
Yeah.
They're being killed anyway.
Yeah.
Muslims are being killed, but you have more, you know, and the our, you know, his example is quite recent.
Yeah.
So even it's gotten to the world stage. Okay, it's got, so it's a sensitive issue as it is. So to now add this, the leading, and this is the ruling party, to come up with a ticket that doesn't, you know, pay attention to this, and all of a sudden that we didn't even know, we now suddenly realize that all the positions in the party are occupied. I mean, that's, it's enough to give anybody some worry. It doesn't give me worry as a personal person. Because yesterday somebody was saying, ah, you know, we Yorubas. I said, I don't care who the president is. That's for me. Because no president made me. God made me and I worked hard. You know, I'm not one who wants to know my, and I can mingle. Some of my best friends are not even Yorubas, but that is me. But generally, and when you live in a country like this, you always feel a bit more comfortable if you have your kith and kin in a place that you can call on. Because we have a disjointed society. You can't run away from that. If you're arrested by the police now, you're not going to get justice unless you know somebody. And for people like us, because of our profession, the way we grew up, we know people across the lines. But for some people, the only person they know is that man from their village and their kith and kin. You get what I'm saying?
Yes, I
do. So it is important. And like I said, perception is the most dangerous part of human existence. Because once you perceive something, you perceive it.
So I'm beginning to, when all of these arguments, when they started, you know, I wasn't around. I did a lot of thinking, and I'm beginning to, I thought about the fact that we magnify these topics of religion and everything. Yes, they live with us. There are fault lines, and we have known from time that we have fault lines. At this juncture of our national life, I was hoping that would focus on other things.
We will focus on other things, but you cannot have a peaceful existence where there is no justice. Justice also includes balancing. You can't have two children, you send one to a public school and the other one to a private school. You don't do that. If at the time you sent the first one to private school, you had so much money, and now you don't have much money for the second one, you will feel uncomfortable. Because then that perception is there. One child will feel that you favored one against the other. So we have balance in our homes, balance in our community. You understand? Why do NEPA sometimes say that, okay, well, if they know they need to ration light, okay, those on the left will have on Mondays, these ones will have. You must have balance in life.
Yeah.
That's why we have two legs. Look at the one-legged man. See how he walks.
So I agree that there's need for balance, right? I agree that there's need for fairness, right? I do. I agree with that. But politicians and political parties' primary objective is to win election. We may preach balancing, we may preach fairness, but their own goal is to win election.
Politicians are the most selfish human beings God ever created. And it's always about I, and I. And it's there. I don't need to mention that famous word. It's only a politician that would get up and say, I. Others would be a bit more diplomatic. A pastor won't address his congregation and talk about I. He'll talk about we. Even a footballer won't talk about, I'm going to score a goal. No, he'll say, we are going to win this match.
We are going to win, yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? It's only a politician, you know, that would come and, you know, some of them are brazen enough, and then they'll say, it's I. That it has to be I. But this country is 200 and something million people. Why must it just be you? Because let's go back to the issue we are talking about. If the APC had sat down to strategize properly, they wouldn't be in this mess.
Yeah, but again, like I said earlier, they're looking to win.
They're looking to win. When you look to win, you start from the beginning. And then you knock out, there's something I learned in Lever Brothers. It's called, when you want to do some management reshuffle, it's called the Greenfield exercise. The Greenfield exercise knocks out all the human beings.
Oh.
It knocks out Jimmy, it knocks out Sheriff, it knocks out Philip, it knocks out everybody.
Greenfield exercise.
And then what it does is that it now looks at positions. If the APC had sat down like a good corporate body strategy to say, look, these people are going to pick this gentleman. Let us have two options. If they pick this one, let's pick this gentleman who is a Christian to balance him. That's what they should have done.
Not persons, not personalities.
Not persons.
But politics is not like that.
Well, that's why it's a whole mess. That's why it's a mess. And that's why the rest of us, because what is the percentage of politicians to the rest of us? And that's why all of us must get up and make sure that the right thing is done.
What does that mean? You're breaking down.
I have one very quick question for you.
Yeah.
Now, it looks as if we might be voting along religious lines, unless something is done speedily.
Unless something, yeah.
Who do you think is going to warehouse all those Christian votes now?
I have no idea. So the thing is...
You don't have an idea?
Yeah, I have no idea, actually.
Okay,
and it's
give
a,
me...
It's a very,
can I give you three names to choose from?
I don't think it's going to be about names.
No, they're candidates.
I think it's going to be about who's got... You know what?
You don't say money, do you?
You know what?
But money will play a role.
We'll play a major role. Let's put major.
But, the determination, I just read in the papers now.
Yeah.
10 million more people registered.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so if it's money, deep pockets. But even at that, I think people are much more determined. I think.
I'm so sorry. Because... Okay, all right. I think we can go to our second story. Was that our I think that was our first of it.
That's the first. The other story is Funke Akindele before time runs out.
Okay, let's go to Funke Akindele's story. Page 17 of The Punch. Akindele Jandol's running mate promises women better deal.
As soon as I heard this yesterday, I picked up my phone and called one of Jandol's people. I heard Akindele and I said, what are you people doing? That was my initial reaction.
Yeah.
But after talking to a few people, after talking to the official, after talking to a few people and talking to my friends, Osa, and all of us sat down and analyzed it, it could turn out to be a masterstroke.
Really?
It could turn out to be a masterstroke. In the first instance, the lady is eminently qualified. She's educated. She's a lawyer. Okay? The fact that she's a comedian doesn't mean she doesn't have anything between her ears. And then, according to the official, he said, look, politics at this point is a function of numbers. And this lady has a large following amongst the youth, amongst the lower and middle, whatever. And these are the people that vote. The guy was telling me, you elites, go and sit down. And I agreed with him later. You know, my initial reaction was, oh my God. Has this thing become a comedy? But hey, one of the best leaders in Europe today is the guy who heads Ukraine. He's a comedian. And somebody cracked a joke about him being a good soldier. Well, some soldier that we know, you know, have been a good comedian. I mean, so I think she's eminently qualified. I think that if you twist it very, very well, It could be a plus. After all, we've had a hairdresser before as deputy governor. So what? I mean, so what are we talking about?
Excuse me.
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Yes, we did. Who didn't have 1/10 of the education that Funke Akindele has? So it's not as if you know. And like I said, she's a lawyer. She's educated. She went to university. She's a lawyer. She's a successful businesswoman. You know, and she has a following. There's also the gender advantage.
Okay.
So if you spin it right, it might just jolly well work. But it is a very, very big risk. But that's what I need to tell the PDP. The PDP people are not happy. I spoke to some of them yesterday because they're not even sure whether she's a member of the party. But I heard that the Jandol man was persistent, is clear in his mind that this is the person that he needs and that for him is a question of numbers. She can, and she's from Ikorodu.
Okay. I wish them best of luck.
What do you think?
No, I don't think of anything.
It looks as if you don't agree with me.
I don't think of anything. I wish them best of luck, the two of them.
So if you wish them best of luck, that you know the funny thing in journalism is that no comment is a comment.
Exactly.
Wishing best of luck is a comment.
Yeah, exactly.
So how do we interpret that?
Yeah, best of luck. They should go to the field and test their strength. But you said something about his electoral value, this thing. But a lot of people have said that, you know, being loved on the screens is different from people entrusting their future, their lives.
The honest to God truth is that, I'm sorry to say this, I'm not being cocky, I'm not being this thing. But the truth is that at the lower level where most of the votes count, votes are emotional. Nigerians voted for somebody before because they thought he would bring good luck because his name was good luck. So at the lower end, it's a question of numbers. Mm. At the lower end, the Lord Troop, at the very least, they'll troop out to hear what she has to say. At the very least.
Yeah.
Once you hear that, look, Funke Akindele is coming to your side of town. You know, they all troop out. Oh, by the way, she'll most likely be here on Tuesday, though.
Oh, okay, good.
I hope you'll be here too.
Tuesday, yeah, of course. I'll be here.
Bye-bye, my Yasser Fikwell.
You
now.
Me. I thought you were referring to yourself.
No.
Oh, boy. let's take one more story, yeah? And I saw this story, too, yesterday, especially concerning the health sector, but this is similar. Nupeng threatened solidarity strike with ASUU.
This should have happened long time ago.
That's what I said.
It should have happened long, long time ago. Indeed, if we had a very good NURTW, this should have happened. All of us should have gotten up and gone on strike until our children can go back to the campuses. But I am glad that Nupeng have now threatened solidarity. They shouldn't threaten solidarity with ASUU. They should give the government a deadline. If you don't do this, this is what we are going to do. It's just about time. It's just about time. And it makes it, last week in the papers, one of the governors, you know, was flaunting, you know, his own son graduating in the university in the UK and so on and so forth. This thing hurts. Our children have been home since February. It hurts. And they're so insensitive to the plan. I would have even thought that, if that happened, you'd quietly go and come back, you know, so people, because they are in public position, you'd be a bit more careful. Yeah. But they even flaunt it and, so our young people, and you are the ones I feel sorry for the most. You keep following these guys blindly without taking a second look. Look at what one of the candidates said he was going to promise the youth. Is that what you want? You keep following these people blindly, but their own children are being well taken care of. But that's a story for another day. I'm glad that Nupeng has said they're going to join. It's about time we put an end to this ASUU strike and open up our universities for our children to learn.
MX 27 said federal government mismanaged ASUU strike by addressing the issues, or by not addressing the issues, you mean. MX 27 on the chat room on the website.
You know, when you said MX 27, I thought you were reading from the Bible.
Oh, wow.
I thought we were talking Matthew 27:1.
That's our show today.
Ah, Jenny, I missed you. It's good to have you back.
I missed you too. But you didn't give me ram.
Go away. I'm an Anglican. Yeah, you see. How come you came without a ram?
I mean, how come? Like, seriously.
I was even telling Philip to check your cap. Yeah. You know, there was a guy who put money in his cap.
Yeah.
So we have a wrong one. We have a fridge.
Okay, well, you'll be back at 9.
I'll be back at 9, God willing.
Fantastic. Yes. I'm Sheriff, he's Jimmy.
I'm Jimmy Diesel,
stay here with us, Lagos. We'll be right back.
You could be 4 debates away from 1 million naira.
Good day, honorable judges, our ever attentive audience.
That's the majority of co-debater.
We've crowned 3 I Beg to Differ debate champions.
My name is Sanvita Kaushik.
I'm Ruth Okocha.
My name is Bella Deessa.
And if you want to be the 4th,
in fact, it even gives you a new global perspective.
The quest 1998 begins
during the 2015 elections.
Now. The auditions for the next I Beg to Differ debate tournament are on. It's open to all secondary school students in Lagos aged between 12 and 16. Just go to www.nigeriainfo.fm and click on I Beg to Differ and follow the instructions. Auditions close 3 p.m. July 12th, 2022.